Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Camden Podcasting Club with your host, Carter Freud. We are back, raised to life, back from the dead, and we have our classic host, you know him, you love him, Clyde Jackson.
What's up?
Clyde, how have you been in this long, long interlude since the last season?
I don't know, I've been the same, I guess. Nothing really changed. It's just, I don't care as much anymore because senior year's at the end, you know? Nothing too special. But the boys just grinding out.
Yeah, tell me about that, because I have to say the biggest change in my life this senior year has been getting accepted to college, my second semester ending, and just everything changes. Absolutely everything.
Yeah, it's sort of, well, it's a different equation depending on who you are, you know what I mean? For seniors, at least, you have the people who get into their top choice, their EAs or whatever, and they're all just maxing and relaxing, you know? They don't really got to try senior year because you could get, if you were a straight B student, you could get like C's or a blue, as long as you pass your classes, basically, for your final year report. Colleges aren't really going to care as much. But then you also have people who didn't get into their early schools. And then for them, it's just sort of like, well, it's not really that their grades matter because the decisions come out like end late March, mid-April, that type of deal. But it's just sort of like stressful for the next 2 months. So really depends on who you are.
Yeah. Like, I don't think it's easy. Oh, a little bit of a breakup. Okay, you're good. You're good, Clyde. So I don't think it's very hard to describe the seismic shift that happens like when you get into college, because it's something that you've been working for your entire high school career, and especially among, I guess I would say, the nerds. I mean, is that what we're calling?
You mean
now?
Like the? I don't really call them nerds. At least not at Camden. I feel like it's just more
high achieving AP students.
Yeah.
People who spam APs, who take more than, I'd say, 4 APs, I'd say you're a nerd.
The tryhards, if you will.
Tryhards, right. I'd say these people have been working towards college from the moment they entered, say, middle school. And to just say now that, like, look, you're accepted, you're done, you've beaten high school to put it bluntly.
Forget high school. It's the whole schooling system.
Yeah, it's insane. It's like, what do you do after that?
Well, I think you enjoy it. First, you enjoy it. You know, you did it. Your goal is achieved. But you can't just lose sight. This isn't the last step. You know, it's not getting into the college. Actually, a lot of people forget that the retention rates for some of the colleges that they get into are actually really low because a lot of people, they can't handle it. So you got to remember, you got to be up for the challenge that it really is college.
Yeah, and you're right about that. But I mean, like, even just imagining college, I mean, okay, so let me start from the beginning. Like, you know, when I first came into this senior year, my mindset was like, look, I don't want to care what anyone thinks, right? I want to live the most enchanted. I want my life to be like a storybook when I enter my senior year. I don't want to care what anyone thinks. I want to be me, you know, look out for number one, right? And it's hard for me to even imagine a college, like, life after high school, because it just seems like a completely different.
It feels like this is the end. It feels like, you know, this is, it's like a role play, and these are like the end credits. These are like the bonus scenes. You're already finished.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the bonus scenes, and it feels like, you know, at this point you can go and you can do anything you've really dreamed of. And I know I caution this by saying, like, as you said, there's the two groups, the people, you know, who are still early. But even for the people who haven't gotten the results in, by the mid-year, that's pretty much the last thing your colleges are going to see before you get your accept rejected. So even then, I mean, senioritis is what we call it, has got to be pretty
bad. Senioritis is already setting in before mid-years, bro. Like, it's not, like, I feel like senioritis sets in after first marking period. I don't know when it set in for you personally, but for me, I had senioritis coming in. It depends on the person, really. I feel like you just, Sorry, what were you saying?
No, go ahead.
I feel like it really depends on the person. It depends on your goal. It depends on your motivations. But senioritis is an inescapable reality for a lot of high school students. And it doesn't really have, they're, depending on who you are, it's not really a strong correlation to success in the mid-year. It's just how it goes down, I guess.
Right. And yeah, I think you're really right about that. What was I even going to say? Oh, yeah. I was going to say that, like, the college culture, I see. I mean, we really didn't get a chance to talk about this when the podcast last ended. But that sort of dog-eat-dog, like, you know, where'd you get into? You know, like, where are you applying to?
Oh, yeah, that's you were just talking about it, right? Like, everyone's like, oh, my God, I got into the top twist. I'm so happy. There's a flip side to that, too. There's always a flip side. I feel like there's more of the flip side than the actual getting in when it comes to some of these tryhards, as we call it, or AP students and whatnot. And it's a lot of – it's. I feel like people – I kind of care about it too much because – so obviously when you look at your top schools, your Ivy Leagues, there is a value. There is a – there's a reason why everyone like harbors for those schools. But you can get through life with a normal college education. And if you really have the motivation, you can go exactly where you want to go with an education from – these like state schools, these local schools, because it's not about where you come from. It's about who you are, right? It's not obviously the reason why people give value to degrees from places like Harvard or Stanford or whatever is because the people who get into those schools are people who have shown dedication and commitment to their academics or their fields of study. It's not the institution. It's the fact that this person was able to receive recognition from that institution. And if you can, like, get to that sort of point, it doesn't matter whether or not you, like, got into those places. It just matters how much work you've put in and how far you're willing to go to actualize, I guess, your career goals. That makes any sense.
There's this book that my librarian recommends. It's called Where You Go Is Not Who You'll Be. It covers a lot of what you said, and I completely agree with that. I feel like colleges, universities... the draw of Harvard, the draw of these top schools is not the teaching. It's not the resources, because you can get those online. You can get those anywhere. It's literally just the people. Clout. Yeah. Oh, clout also. But I was going to say the people there, the networks you can make. And most people don't even take advantage of it. So they're basically, you know, filling themselves with debt for no reason.
I was doing one of these interviews and I was talking to an interviewee of, or rather interviewer from one of these top schools, and she's currently a teacher, and she was telling me that she, though she did her undergrad at one of these top schools, she ended up doing her grad school at just like a local university just because of financial reasons. And you have to remember, you can't get caught up in the fact, for people who get into these schools, you can't get caught up in the fact that, oh, wow, I did this. Like, you're paying, like, 60, 70K in tuition. And if it's not you, it's your parents' paying. And
right.
It's kind of, especially for people going down, like, the med route, it's kind of like you can't expect them to be so wholeheartedly ready to throw that money down for grad school as well. So, and, like, if you're even going down the route of grad. So, I guess the end point is there's a lot of variables, and the journey doesn't end at getting into a college. And that journey doesn't end at getting rejected from a college either. You just have to. This is just. You have to remember that this is just the stage of our lives.
Right.
And there's way more to it than just getting in and getting a degree and all that.
Very, very hard to just hear like this is just another stage of our lives, even though it's so true. It's just the fact that so much has happened in these 3 years of high school. That, like, it makes you feel like you're in your own ecosystem. You're in your own – this is your life. This is your existence. It's kind of hard to hear that it's like this is just –
but, I mean it's the – I mean, it's hard to hear, sure, but that's what it is. You can't really expect anyone to refute that.
Yeah. No, it's true. And on money, one of the most depressing things that I've ever heard personally is – I had a friend who got into a top school, and like, you know, this is a person who'd been working all his life. He's like, you know, I don't want to go to I'll just say New Jersey State because we're in Camden, New Jersey. He really didn't want to go to
New Jersey State.
Yeah, NJ State. You know, half our school goes to NJ State, and I have no problem with people who go to NJ State. But like, he was you know, laser focused getting those good grades, and when he finally gets his acceptance letter from this top school, he can't afford it. And guess where he's going? NJ State.
And that's the thing. Like, I don't even know, dude. I don't even know how to explain it. If you really want to take it in a positive light, that's a validation of your academic achievement, and you should not feel. I mean, I can't stop. I can't, like, you can't stop it, but you shouldn't really feel that upset that you didn't get into that school, because you can still receive a quality education and make the most out of your education at some of these other state schools. It's literally just clout and networking, which most people don't even really take advantage of when it comes to these S-tier schools, if you will. So,
speaking of clout, let's talk about, let's bring it a little bit in back into the present, back into high school. One of the first episodes we had out here was social hierarchy, I guess. And that's something I really want to bring up again. What would you say, you know, our high school, what would be the higher, what would be the groups, what would be the ladder?
I don't really see any, honestly. It might just be because I'm socially inept, but I don't really see there. I think our high school, Camden, has been sort of blessed with this type of thing. There's not too much really discrimination between said groups and cliques. And even if there is, it's more of like an isolationist type thing where it's like, we don't really roll with you. You don't really roll with us. We'll just leave it at that. You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying, but
I feel like, if I have to answer the question, I feel like there's like certain hierarchies within cliques. Like, for example, you got, like, in the whole college thing, you got people who, like, in the whole AP student, it's like, what's your GPA? What's your extracurriculars? Oh, wow. And then they like point out a couple of people, and those people are like, oh, this guy's getting into this school. This guy's getting into this school. There's no point in applying. And there's a whole, you know, like, stigma that these guys are like the cream of the crop. You know, does that make any sense?
Yeah.
And I feel like what we have to remember is that, yeah, sure, they may be the cream of the crop at our school, but we have no exposure to other schools. We have no exposure to, like, what the competition outside of what we see is like. And that's, like, another thing. I'm just, like, sort of bringing it back to sorry, I lost my train of thought. I'm sort of bringing it back to, like, college experience and all that here. It's like, these cliques and stuff don't really matter in the long run.
They don't.
And these whole hierarchies and stuff are just sort of, I mean, not sort of, they are just like a social construct. That, and an interesting point about, like, hierarchies, I feel like a great way to examine these sort of phenomenon in a vacuum. Have you ever been to, like, a summer camp?
I think so, but it was so long ago, I can't remember.
Like, have you been to these summer camps? Those are, like, I feel like prime examples of just what social hierarchies are, because you sort of, so what happened was, I was taking, in order to get, like, more, I guess, academic courses in to my schedule, I ended up taking my PE credits over the summer, right? And in the process of doing that, there were, like, 8 students that I met who were doing the exact same thing. One of them is still one of my friends today. But there was almost like a mini hierarchy already established between us. And it was like, okay, this kid is like the sporty kid, even though none of them are really sporty kids because they're all nerds trying to college. And then you have like, this kid's like the nerd. This kid's like good at sports. This kid's bad at sports. This guy's the funny guy. And it's almost as if we are forced to fill in these roles due to some, like, invisible social pressure.
It's kind of creepy.
Have you ever experienced that, or am I just...
No, I know what you mean.
Have you seen it in, like, a classroom? Like, maybe, like, an elective class where you don't know really anybody. As you guys get to know each other, it's like people filling these niche roles in a social ecosystem.
To give an example, a math class I was in. I believe it was actually calc. From the moment that class started, right? I made the determination that I was going to be the class clown. Like I didn't care what it was. I was going to be the class clown. And from the moment it started, I went after that role. I fulfilled it, and immediately it was just like every other class where I guess I was the clown. I would make jokes, you know, people would, rib me. And I don't know, like whenever I'm the class clown, I do feel like I lose a little bit of respect for myself. I lose a lot of respect from others, even though it's fun and it's great and it's a role that you play. And I noticed that in other classes that I was taking at the exact same time, you know, I would go in more seriously, right? I would go in, I would, you know, answer all the questions. I would do my homework on time in a class where the majority of it were slackers. I would take charge on group assignments, and immediately I felt a kind of respect that I didn't feel in the calc class.
When you were the class clown.
When I was the class clown, but at the same time...
Self-imposed class clown.
Yeah, sorry. Self-imposed class clown, I guess. And, you know, but I still felt closer to other people as the clown than as I did as the... I don't know.
Like, that's the thing, right? It's like... I feel like there's a certain part of it where, like I said, there's like a invisible pressure, but it's also like people try to, in a situation where they don't really know people, they try to bring out the best qualities themselves. They're like, okay, how will I get people to socialize with me? How will I be able to sort of build my repertoire in this sort of like ecosystem, as I said before? And that sort of causes people to fill these niche roles. And I say niche because after a couple of weeks, there's no really established like competition, right? It's not like, oh no, me and three other guys are going to try and be the class clown. It's just after a while, it's sort of everything fleshes out on its own.
Right.
And I've always found it like really weird because I don't try and sort of conform to any of these ideas. I just sort of try to be myself, but I catch myself, despite my sort of isolationist ideals, like falling into that sort of trap. You catch what I'm saying?
Yeah, you desire to be isolationist. Why is that?
Just because to get away from it, you know, like I don't like sort of trying to develop a relationship with, because right at Camden is like block scheduling, right?
Right.
So it's basically, I see this guy for like 2 or 3 months. We build something. And then if we don't have any other classes together, and we're not really that close, it's almost a meaningless relationship in my eyes. So it's just like, I don't know. I don't like making those types of relationships where I know it won't be reciprocated for long.
Do you feel as if, have you ever felt that there's a limit to the types of, or the kind of people you can be friends with, even if you tried? And this kind of gets to the social hierarchy thing I was talking about, the friend group things.
I think that it's very easy for people of different interests to intermingle because there's so many, you can't define someone based off of one thing. Like, let's say I like football and you don't like football. Like, that's not going to define our relationship. Sure, it might be like, you want to talk about football with me sometimes, and I'll just be like, no, not my thing. But that doesn't mean that like we can't be friends. It's just more about the experiences you have with the people and how much weight that they have in the grand scheme of your life.
Yeah. Honestly, I agree with that. I do feel like the only obstacle...
Because, I mean, just think about like, sorry for interrupting, just think about like the whole like political spectrum, and like you have people who are like super left and you have people who are like super right, and you still see them get along. Because it's not, and they can still like interact normally and even have meaningful, friendly relationships with each other. Because it's not one little difference, which usually, because like social cliques are usually built upon a common foundation, right? Like for example, I'm sure you like in the season one, you guys talked about like theater kids, right?
Right.
And then you would have like we were talking about like AP students. You have Sports Kids. You have the Gamer Squad, if you will. And it's just sort of like, in the grand scheme of things, people, it's not like you only interact with people from the quote-unquote Gamer Squad.
Yeah, but that's not necessarily what I mean. And maybe I haven't been clear. Maybe I'm meeting a little bit tighter.
Interact is the wrong word. It's just more like make friends, even. Like, you don't have to be friends with person X just because you guys share the same interests.
Maybe I'm talking about friend groups, or maybe that's clear what I want to say. You know, groups of friends where if you want to have, I guess, a close relationship with somebody in that group or be accepted as a part of that group, unless you conform in some way, you're just never going to get that chance.
I don't know. I feel like that's a tough one because it depends on the situation. There's no yes or no answer in my eyes.
I mean, when was the last time you just joined a friend group? I mean, I can think of one or two times, and that's, you know, with you. And then I don't really think throughout my high school career, I don't really think that, like, you know, invading a friend group is something that really ever happens.
So when it comes to the way I choose my friends, it might be different from other people, but I don't know, it's sort of natural. Like, I see people and I'm like, all right, I can see myself spending more time with them. And I make the approach and I'm like, hey, would you be interested in being closer friends? And then if they're like, yeah, sure, then we can pursue that relationship. And then if they're like, no thanks, then it's just no thanks. It's not really, for me, like, making friends. Okay, let me just get this straight. Are you asking, is it difficult to make meaningful relationships with people, like, not just like normal class friends, just like friends that, like, mean something to you, with people from different social backgrounds?
Yeah, I guess so.
And for me personally, the answer is no, because I can tend to find a lot of common ground with people. Like, some of my friends, we play the same games. Some of my friends, we enjoy the same music. Some of my friends, we enjoy the same, I guess, like, sports teams and stuff. Some of my friends, we enjoy the same academic interests. We enjoy the same extracurricular interests. And though we might have differing interests elsewhere, we can still have meaningful relationships outside of just that specific topic or idea. I don't know if that's really answering your question.
Maybe. I mean, I know for me, is it difficult to become friends with anyone? I agree with you there. I don't think it's necessarily difficult to become friends with any particular person who's a part of any particular group. I don't think it's difficult to get to know them on a closer level. I think most people are open to that. But I do feel as if there's a type of insularity with some groups where, let's say you're friends with this person, you're friends with, let's say, three people in the group of four, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're still not going to get invited to, I guess, you know, their parties, their engagements, and all that. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Like, you're not, it does feel, at some level, you're not truly accepted in.
And I feel like, for that question, I'm sure they're the wrong person to ask, because I'm friends with a lot of people from a lot of different areas, I would say. But like you said, you know, I don't find myself being invited to the sort of super close, like, hangouts. And I guess you're right. It's sort of hard to reach that inner circle. But do you really, like, is it really important to you? I guess that's the important part. You know what I mean? Because, like, for me, where it's like those groups where I'm not in the inner circle, it's like, yeah, I like these guys and I enjoy spending time with them, but I'm not going to feel wounded if they don't want me to be more a part of their lives. And that's okay, because it should be a mutual thing. And I'm not going to, it's like, I'm not going to think any less of myself because they don't hold me to some standard that they hold somebody else. Like, if I have to sum it up, like, you shouldn't really take the whole idea of friendship very seriously, especially in high school. Because One, you're gonna, especially for like seniors, like you're going to college and it's gonna be like a fresh restart, unless it's like one of those state colleges where half the people who talk like you from our Camden go to. But it's like you shouldn't get worked up about like cliques and am I gonna fit in and all that shit, because at the end of the day, I feel like you're gonna end up finding the people who you're meant to be with. But if I had to answer your question, then yeah, I feel like there, it is hard for people. I feel like there is a little bit of repulsion from these inner circles, but I feel like it all works out for a lot of people in the end.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I do
What are
agree.
your what are your what are your views on this?
My thoughts are
Like in detail. Like I know you gave me like an in summary answer, but
well, my thinking on it is that I have a couple close friends, and I think, and I love them. I love my close friends. But sometimes I think about, if I were to replay my high school experience and I were to do things differently, and I think about all these, maybe let's say 10 person, 20 person close groups of friends that a lot of people I see every day are, they're part of these groups, and I've never, just never been a part of those inner circles. I wonder, what did I do, I guess, wrong to not be there? And I guess part of that is
well,
an insecurity, part of that is a jealousy.
the fundamental thing there, right, is I guess sort of, have you ever heard that like people have limited resources and unlimited wants?
Yeah.
It's like, it's that same principle, you know? Like, you cannot feasibly be friends with everybody. Even like the leaders of our country don't have a 100% or even close to a 100% like approval rate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when you think about it, like there's no way you will get everybody like you. Everyone's going to be your number one home guy. They're going to be your number one confidant. They're going to tell you all of your problems. You're going to be in the inner circles. You're going to be invited to parties. You're going to be turning down someone one day, one another day, just because people are fundamentally different. They like different things. They act differently. They respond differently. They react differently. They think differently. They act differently, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just, you shouldn't, I mean, I shouldn't like tell you how to live your life, but you shouldn't feel jealous that you're not a part of it because you have those 20 people that you really like. There's no need for you to replay your life.
Not
You know
gonna
what I
lie though,
mean?
the fantasy though is there. The fantasy
The
is there.
fantasy though is there, but if you're, it's one thing to be like, oh, I could have been friends with more people. It's another thing to be like, why didn't I? Like that's not, you shouldn't be double questioning the friends that you made, and you shouldn't be double questioning the friends that you didn't make. Because at the end, it's like, you have to think about it this way. If you were really going to have the same profound relationship that you have with those close people that you have right now, they would probably want to ask you, hey, let's hang out sometime. I feel like we'd be really cool friends. And if they haven't made that first move in all of this time, then is it really worth being like doubting yourself? That make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense. That does make sense, and I feel like that cleared up something that I've been thinking about, meditating on for a while now.
It's just got to be one, you have to understand that these types of things are mutual. You cannot force them upon other people because one, that's selfish. And two, it wouldn't be, it's like a forced like relationship with someone, like with a, like with another, like a, with a girl, I guess in your case, it would like, it would feel fake. And in the end, it just wouldn't work out. It'd be
Right.
really artificial. And you would, it would make both parties feel really uncomfortable.
You're right. It is selfish, and it's ridiculous, and I don't know why I'm
I don't know, you don't
mentioning
really
it.
sound very convinced there.
No, you're right. And I don't know why, but one of my favorite books of all time is The Great Gatsby, right?
I
And
really enjoyed The Great Gatsby as well.
in The Great Gatsby, this man, John Gats, right? He's this okay dude, a little bit of poor, but like through intense determination, he transforms himself into somebody truly majestic and awe-inspiring. and he's the life of every party. And he's got this, he's got that. And he goes after, I guess, Daisy, like this girl that he couldn't get before. And at the end of his life, and this is the part that a lot of people forget, he dies alone and he dies almost friendless except for this one person.
And the one person didn't really even know him. They did, like, the one person, he only, you have to remember, like, Nick only went to the funeral because he just felt like somebody had to. He was just filling a role. There was no, I don't think there was any connection. He didn't have any emotional connection or investment to Gatsby. But sorry, continue.
I can't lie and say that for a large portion of my life, I guess I've tried to emulate Gatsby, you know, like, absolutely transform myself into something, I don't know, something greater than I once was. Mm-hmm. And when you're transforming yourself, the action is completely selfish. It's completely, is almost disgusting, because you're putting yourself above a lot of other things, about a lot of other people. But when, I don't know, it feels like
it's selfish when you are forcing it on other people, like, aggressively. Like, it's selfish when you are it's okay, it's one thing, it's not selfish, I would say, to make the move, you know, to be like, hey, let's be friends. It's another thing when people actively don't really want to talk to you and you just keep forcing yourself on them, and then you expect them to, and you make them feel guilty when you're like, when they obviously don't want to interact with you, but you keep forcing these interactions. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not selfish to get yourself out there. It's selfish to expect other people to reciprocate that.
Yeah. I do feel like there's a danger when you, I guess, your lofty dreams start to involve other people and you want them to be actors on the little stage of your imagination, and when they don't do exactly what you want them to, you get angry. And that, if you don't quickly realize that you're becoming a manipulative, disgusting person, that can be dangerous, and I feel like there's temptation in that.
You just have to, I guess, know your limits, know the other person's limits. Mm-hmm. Understand that you shouldn't change who you are, because you are the way you... It's one thing to strive for self-improvement. It's another thing to completely change the basis of your personality and the way you are for somebody else's... for somebody else's approval.
Right. And I don't know. I don't know, because I feel like a lot of great men, like you look at Napoleon, you look at, I guess, Elon Musk, you look at all these people who started from nothing. I feel like there's a certain level of self-hatred that you need to get off the starting block. You need to, like, look at yourself and be like, look, I'm not content with who I am today.
I wouldn't say that's self-hatred. Hatred is too strong of a word. Like you said, I feel like discontent would be a lot stronger. Self-hatred, I think, would, like, sort of imply that you do not like the way you are. Discontent? When I say, like, hatred, like, you don't like the way you are, like, you absolutely despise yourself. You don't think that, like, you, from the get-go, you feel like you have no redeeming qualities. But, like, discontent, I think, is a better word, because there's, you feel like you can reach something more. And going for something more is different than hatred.
I do agree with that.
And I think, like, that, I know it's, like, nitpicky, but I think there's an important difference. Like, you can't, like, saying you hate yourself versus I want to improve myself, those are very two completely different mindsets. It's like saying you hate yourself is like a fixed mindset, because you're sort of saying, okay, I admitted it, so things should get better. That's not how it works. You have to strive to get better.
Right.
It's not just, like, a lot of people, especially when it comes to, like, I guess, like, lying or, like, addiction, it's like, for them, yeah, I admit, recognizing and acknowledging that they have a problem is definitely an important first step. But it shouldn't be the only step that you take. Hmm. That makes sense. It shouldn't just be like, oh, you should, just because you're self-aware doesn't excuse behaviors.
Right. Yeah, I mean, even if Hitler was self-aware, that doesn't make what he did
okay at all. Not that that's a lot of matter, but I just think that that was started. But yeah, even if Hitler was like, yeah, I know I'm doing the thing, But I'm still going to do it anyways. That doesn't change the facts.
Right. And subtle topic switch, but not far of a topic switch, is what I want to talk about. Is I want to talk about relationships. And we were talking about friendships. I want to talk about relationships between guys and girls, I guess. How guys treat girls, how girls treat guys. It's something that I wanted to cover a little bit on this podcast while wanted to talk about.
I mean, yeah, romance has always been a pretty large part of the podcast.
Yeah, dude. Relationships, man. What's your experience there? What's your experience there? What have you learned?
Zero, zip, not okay. Well, what I learned?
Yeah.
So I haven't had any of them. I guess what I've learned is don't rush it. Don't force it. Don't try. And like I said, don't expect the other person to reciprocate the like feelings because they don't, they're not, just because you like them doesn't mean that they are obliged to like you back. You have to go in understanding that there is a possibility that this won't work out, and that's okay because they have every right to not like you. Because, and that doesn't mean that you are inferior. It doesn't mean that you lack something. It's just personal taste.
Yeah.
And I know it's sort of sucks to be like, oh, they just didn't like me, I guess. But that's the fact. They just didn't like you. And there's not much you can change about it. But maybe there's a reason they didn't like you. There's a reason you guys aren't really set. And that's okay.
And one thing that, you know, I've been wondering, like, who to speak to as my audience on this. Do I speak to someone who is just curious and, you know, he wants to start, you know, talking to girls, or a girl who just wants to start talking to guys who's super new? Or do I talk to, like, you know, the ultimate player, tell him, like, you know, what's my next move? What should I do? What's my morality about this, you know?
I don't think you should talk to anyone. Like, always people call them advice and be like, is this right? Is this right? And I feel like there's some like basics, like, you know, like double texting. Like,
never double text, gents. Don't be a simp.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, there's some like basics that you should ask people, but don't be the guy that's like, all right, I want to ask her for the specific day plan at the specific time. And I want to take her out here.
We all know a person like that. Like, don't do that.
You should be natural and be yourself, because when you get somebody else's help, that means that you're being disingenuous to your potential partner. And then they end up liking a person that is not you. And then as they get deeper into the relationship, they realize that. And there's, I guess, a level of distrust that is sort of formed because of that type of behavior.
Yeah.
And both parties will, as I said again, both parties won't really enjoy what they've gotten themselves into. Just look at high school relationships.
High school relationships, man.
How many of those go on to college?
I mean, almost zero.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, sometimes, you know, it's not about the... I'm not even going to say this, but I mean, you guys can tell what I'm about to say. You know, it's not necessarily about the length are enduring. It's about, you know, the memories you make along the way. What I'm trying to say here is, you know, what advice could I give to my younger self? Someone who, I don't know, like, I was horrible with girls, with
talking. Don't try too hard when it comes to girls. It should come naturally. It shouldn't be, I need to impress her. It should be, I'm going to be myself. If she likes me, she likes me. If she doesn't like me, it wasn't meant to be. And that's okay. I might not have a relationship for my entire high school career, but that's just destiny. It's not me, guys. It's destiny.
I think what I learned the most is, you know, you got to be direct, you know. You got to say what you want. You got to be honest, you know. If you like a girl, and this is, I'm giving my advice to, I guess my theoretical, my virtual younger brother, not my actual younger brother, is that I would just say, like, look, if you like a girl, you just got to be direct. Tell her how you feel. Just be like, hey, look, I like you. Can I take you out sometime? Get to know them. And I feel like a lot of guys, like, they're terrified of asking a girl out. And most people resolve that in middle school. But if you don't, and it's still hard for you, I mean, just know that the number one rule of interacting with girls is that if it's hard, if it's difficult, then you're doing something wrong, right? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
If a girl, you know, doesn't like you, then it's going to be very hard to try and
force that
move,
upon them.
Yeah, move things forward. But I mean, if a girl likes you, everything will be so, so easy. And I wish I had learned that earlier. But it's a simple rule to understand. You know, there's hormones. It speeds along the process. What can I say? It's good. And what changed for me, I guess, what allowed me to... I mean, there was a distinct period in my life. Like, I think before the end of my sophomore year, I was terrible. I was terrible. Like, you know, no success at all.
Are you implying that you're not terrible now?
Dude, I'm still terrible. I'm still terrible. But I can say I have a modicum of success over my friends.
It's gone from like a 1 out of 10 to like maybe like a 3.
Oh my god, you're roasting me nonstop, Clyde. But what changed for me is
sorry, continue.
I don't know, getting healthy. You know, getting in shape. That'll
focus
help
on
you
yourself,
out.
Bro.
Yeah, focus on yourself. You know, start you know, improving your style a bit, you know, get creative.
You gotta be a king, dude.
You gotta be a king, man. Like, people don't realize that, like, you can put, like, if you put, like, 10% into your style, right, you're already above 90% of other guys. Most guys are so terrible with women that just by being a normal human being around a girl, you're already in the top 1%. It's insane.
I know, like, you shouldn't feel like competition. I feel like, I know, like, hormones, like you said, but like, if two people like a guy, she has the right to turn one down and the other one not down, and you don't really have to like work to impress. Just be yourself. Again, she likes the other guy, she likes the other guy, she likes you, she likes you. It shouldn't be like, oh my god, how can I ruin this guy's chances so I can get with this it's like, no, don't do that stuff.
One thing I always found interesting is just how weird guys act around girls. And I mean, it's something
just
that's gotten...
Just look at Twitch streamers, bro. That's all you need to look at.
Yeah, and it's something
how
that's
guys
gotten...
act around, like, women that are years older than them, who are pretty.
I mean, to be fair, half of them are like 13-year-old, you know, Fortnite...
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's like... When it's not much different when you're older, everyone be simping and shit.
Dude, you're true. And for those who don't know, simping is when you give up half of your personality to try and get a girl, which never works. But just in general, just like in normal human interactions, guys don't really treat these people like human beings. They treat like, you know what is
So now I'm sure you know what, like, incels are, right?
Yeah. We've talked about
it. I feel like incels, for people who don't know, they're sort of like people who can't seem to find themselves able to establish a meaningful relationship with a person of the opposite, or I guess same sex, depending on their sexual orientation. And they tend to blame outside circumstances. And I think that's because... there's sort of this objectification where it's like you're looking at this person that you want to establish a relationship with as like a check, if that makes sense.
As like a check what?
Checkpoint, rather than like an actual person with their own values and their own thought processes and their own way of going about things. You're not like respecting them as a human. You're taking them as like an object.
Right. I think that's... I feel like a lot of people, even people who aren't incels, still think that way. They just think like, you know, like, look,
yeah.
I got to cross off a high school relationship off my list of my to-do list. let me find, you know, a girl who looks kind of easy and let me
passable.
Talk to her. Yeah, looks passable, kind of easy. Let me talk to her and let me get rejected by her anyway because I'm not treating her like a honest human being.
How could she reject me?
I played all my cards perfectly. It's like
I even made it to Challenger in League of Legends. How possible to reject me?
But I'm not even in like pursuing a relationship. I'm talking about like you're sitting in class. You know, guys won't treat girls like humans. And I couch that, but what I mean is like say you turn around to your buddy, your friend, let's say Fred, who sits next to you, and you ask him about the homework. But when you ask, I guess, Lizzie about the homework to your left, it's a completely different story. It's like there's, if she doesn't, suddenly you're angry at her. It's like, you know, maybe she just hates me or something like that. Whereas
I don't know. I've never really run into that situation. Maybe it's because I
feel like sort of people hold girls and guys to different standards.
Yeah, I just think that people read into it way too much. I feel like people are like, there's sort of like this culture that is like, it's like they're afraid of like a ripple effect. You know, it's like, oh my God. So let's say I tell this guy answers to the homework or something. He's going to go tell all his guy friends. And now there's going to be like rumors and stuff that like we're going out and sort of thing. I don't know how true that is. That was just like an example. But like the point is, they're worried about the consequences of their social actions. And I guess that,
yeah,
that there's like a risk of that in any social interaction. But I feel like people tend to make it more so between interactions of the opposite sex.
Yeah, but there is no risk or reward if you think about it logically. I mean, this is just a person-to-person interaction.
People are too self-absorbed. They think way too high of themselves. They think that everyone's tracking their every move. When in reality, nobody really cares. Nobody really, really cares.
Yeah.
That much about them. No offense. But it's just like, in the grand scheme of things, nobody's going to give a damn that you asked Lindsay for the homework or some shit. Like, it's all right, bro. You can calm down.
Right. And another thing I want to talk about is, I guess, self-respect. And I guess why some people, you know, get more respect than others. You know, some people just get walked on. And it's not based on anything like, you know, your friend groups or whatever, how they look. It's just how they treat themselves and how they allow other people to treat them. Like, some people just get roasted all the time in class. And
it's all about the way you carry yourself.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like when you – it's like the way you walk – well, I mean, quite literally, it's the way you walk, the way you talk. All of that matters. It's the way you present yourself. Like, if you are someone who's, like, meek or mellow, then obviously people are going to go with the opinion that you're, like, someone who doesn't mind getting, like, stepped on or doesn't really care too much about, I guess, their social standing. So if you really care about that stuff, those are some things to keep in mind. But I would say it's, like, do you care? You know what I mean? It's not like...
What do you mean, do you care? I mean, I'm sure somebody gets cares if they get bullied every day, if they're constantly the butt of every joke.
Is different, but it's like...
I don't mean like actual bullying, but like you can tell when somebody's at the bottom of a group of friends, when they're the butt of every joke, when... well, I mean, that's it. I mean, literally everything, they're the last person to get invited to everything.
You should...
And they feel like they're a loser. You should
carry yourself with more confidence. I feel like... If it's getting to that, then people are realizing that you are not very confident about you yourself or your strengths.
Yeah, and I wanted to give some, I guess, actionable steps that, I mean, helped me, I guess, get that confidence over time. I just want to talk about some things that I did. And for me, what that involved was, you know, when somebody, like, insults you or he roasts you, I mean, you have a couple of options, right? You can come up with a comeback. You can get defensive. And that's one of the worst things that you can do. You just never, ever do that. Instead, you just either ignore them, play it off as if they said nothing and like they literally do not exist. Or what you can do is you can agree with them and you can amplify what they said. So if somebody says you're a dork, you know, you respond with like, dude, you are absolutely so right. You know, I woke up this morning and I know that I'm a dork. Those kind of responses... For me, it just changed the way
I mean, for me personally, dude, I just think you got to stop caring as much about you. Like, it's not that big a deal.
No, but that's something that's easy for us seniors to say. But I do feel like there's a lot of juniors. There's a lot of sophomores.
That's why I'm saying it for them. That's why I'm giving them the it's not that big a deal.
It really isn't. When you think about
it's
it,
it
really
you, isn't. It's like... I mean, I hate to sound like a anti-bully advert type crap, but it's like, it really, there is some what they're saying. it is really not as important as you might make it out to be at the current moments.
But at the same time, I mean, you exist, you're a person, you were born into the world at the end of how many years of evolution? Do you deserve to live your life with your head held down, like, you know, below other people? Like, don't you deserve to be at the top?
You have to understand how to deal with them. And if you can't do it yourself, you have to seek, if it's becoming a problem where it's like you're questioning yourself on a daily basis, there's a lack of self-esteem, there's a lack of self-love, you need to reach out to support groups, and you need to reach out to like friends, family, because nobody deserves to live their life feeling like a failure, because I don't think it's very hard for someone to necessarily like fail at life. Obviously, there are consequences to certain actions, but it's like there is a real problem if you are not happy with yourself.
Sure. Sure, yeah. I see that. I do think, though, that there's a part of everyone who wants to be, you know, dominant, you know, in every social interaction.
If that's not you, then just don't do that. If you are not, like, a dominant person, don't try to make yourself a dominant person, because everyone's going to laugh.
Say you want to be the dominant person, but you're not. You feel you're at the bottom. How do you climb that? How do you do that? And how do you gel with that when, you know, people don't recognize your true value, I say.
Express yourself more strongly. Like you said, I mean, I wouldn't really say, yeah, I'm definitely a dork. Like, I don't know if that's really the number one route, if that makes sense. But it should be more, you should be proud of yourself, and you should just, like, there's some, like, for example, if you are, I don't know, it really depends on situation to situation. Like, if you're someone who is really into wearing, like, just out there fashion, not just, like, being fashionable, it's like wearing, like, 1600s, like, robes or something.
Right.
You have to weigh your benefits, because people are going to judge you for that. And it's like, if it's really that important to you, then you should be willing to take the backlash. That makes sense.
Right.
Because, like, if you love it that much, then it shouldn't really be that big of a
deal. Oh.
But if it's gone to the point where it's like, is it really worth it, then it's up to you to make that decision. But if, I mean, back to the original point, if it's like, if you find yourself not happy with the way your friends are being treated, like finding yourself at like the butt of these jokes, like the whole, like all of that, right? Then you have to be, I guess, you have to make that clear. One, you have to be, and don't like whine about it. Just be like, hey guys, I'm not really feeling respected right now, and I want that to change. And you have to be really assertive about how you want to be treated. And if people aren't willing to respect that, then you just have to realize that those people aren't meant to be your friends, and you have to move on. They're hard choices, but you cannot get people to change the way they view you. You can, like, I shouldn't say that, because you definitely can. Like, if you are more, as I said, more confident, more cool in the way you are, then you can definitely change the way people view you. But you, I guess, if you've always been viewed as a sort of outcast or sort of like low level on the social hierarchy, acting confident, if you don't do it very well, people are just going to find it funny. They're going to be like, oh my dude, why do you care so much? We're just messing around. And they'll say stuff like that, and they don't understand how much it's really affecting. So at that point, you just have to ask yourself, I mean, is it really worth having to play this game with these people, or should I try and find people that'll really value me for who I am?
Yeah. I mean, and that's right, that, like, at the end, like, you know, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Like, 3-4 years from now, it won't matter at all. You won't even be thinking about it for a second. But doesn't it seem a little defeatist in that moment? When you're, you know, somebody's, you know, ribbing you and you hate it.
Of course it seems a little defeatist in that moment.
To just think that, like, you know, really, really, this doesn't even matter. Like, say, like, you know, you're walking, somebody's like, dude, like, you know, your shoes look like crap. You just look like an utter clown. It does feel a little defeatist to be say, like, you know, in the end, in the scheme of things, you know, this doesn't even matter. And I do think there's an appeal just being, like, you know, the big
it's
dog.
All about the
big
way dog, you view it.
The guy who, like, nobody ever messes with, you know. I think there's an appeal to being that, even if that only exists within a narrow frame of reality. It's not really an actual, you know, thing. There's an idea of being the guy, you know, who nobody ever messes with. I feel like there's definitely an appeal to that. And it does feel like a kind of escape when you just say, like, you know, in the end, that doesn't matter. It feels like as if you're trying to escape your environment versus trying to master your environment, you know?
It's really down to perspective. Are you losing them or are they losing you? You know what I mean? It's not really about, like you said, it's like, I guess there's an appeal to being like the guy that nobody messes with. Like, if nobody's like messing with you, then how like friendly are you being? You know what I mean? I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's no, like,
I get you.
It's just really about perspective. You have to think about it, I guess, maturely. It's like, when it comes to the point where it's like, I don't like the way these people are treating me, then they are not worth your time. And that's not you being defeatist. It's you realizing that these are not the right people for you.
My question is, was this always how you thought? Like, because, I mean, I feel like that's a really wise perspective.
No,
and I feel like...
it's not how I've always thought. I know, I'm not... I won't lie to you and say that, like, I was always thinking that way. But it's something I'm not going to lie. Like, I've already said, I've always been sort of, I guess, sort of not very socially strong. But... You tend to learn these things because I'll admit it, I've tried to make friends with a lot of people and it's worked out, and I've tried to make friends with a lot of people. Didn't want to reciprocate that, but at the end of the day, they were not worth my time. And in the moment, it was hard for me to accept that. In that moment, it was hard for me to say, I guess these people aren't right for me. Because it sort of, like I said before, it sort of makes you feel like there's something intrinsically wrong within yourself. There's something wrong that you are doing when in reality that is not the case at all.
Oh my God, dude. Like, I just realized, like, how pathetic I've been. You know, a lot of my thinking process has been how pathetic. Because, I mean, in the face of that, like, you know, that superior perspective, it's just like, why do I care?
It's the way we were built, because humans crave social attention, social status.
It's hormones, man. It's hormones.
But it's just, it's all perspective. Everything social, it's just perspective.
Breaking out of that, yeah. It's the hardest thing.
And like you said, you know, it took me a while. It took me a thorough education in the high school educational system to get to that sort of point. But
It's just like, I don't know, it's like seeing things from, like, do you know Cthulhu?
I don't know, like, too much about it, but I know,
like, okay, the idea of Cthulhu, Lovecraftian horror, is like something that's so massive, it's scary because it's too big to even comprehend, that it's just so massive. And it's just like, looking at the world from the perspective of Cthulhu, like, none of these things even matter. It's like, oh, you didn't get invited to this dance, right? It's like, who cares? You know, this friend, this person, this group, you know, doesn't really like you that much. I mean, who cares? I mean, as long as you're on your own goals, on your own journey, who cares what these people think? or not really who cares what these people think, like, why do you care what these people think? It's like, you know, it's pathetic to get involved in such a tiny arena, I would say. It's a waste of a life. It's a waste of your energy.
So social interaction is healthy, but it shouldn't define you.
I think for the majority of people, it does define them.
Which is not how you're supposed to go through it.
Yeah. I think that's so... I feel like I just broke out of the Matrix by listening to you.
I don't know. It's all about personal experience.
Yeah. I feel like I took which one is the good one? The red pill or the blue pill? The one that gets you out.
The red pill, I think.
Yeah, I feel like I just took the red pill by speaking to you, Clyde. Like, I feel as if, like, I've reawakened back to old
Carter. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. You know, I think I know what brought me under the blue pill in the first place, which I will talk about the next time we speak, Clyde. Thank you for coming on.
No problem. Awesome time. It's a pleasure to be here.
Stay tuned for the next episode of the Camden Podcasting Club. We out. Also, a key supporter of the podcast is the Minecraft website, play.stratus.network. Be sure to check them out if Minecraft is something that you're into.